In today's episode,
I actually am going to say something pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I take no credit for my success.
Mm.
I think I'm a product of my parents and my environment.
Yeah.
Like, it's really like, what? What can I say that wasn't the fact that my mom and dad had sex to make me? What? I'm charismatic?
Yeah.
Sounds like them to me.
Yeah, it is.
What? I have work ethic, taught behavior. My parents worked their fucking faces off.
Mm.
Like, what do I have?
This is Bilal Zaidi, and you're listening to Creator Lab, where I learn how to turn ideas into action. I'll bring you conversations with leading entrepreneurs, nonprofit founders, award-winning designers, educators, artists, and everything else in between. We dig deep into their stories, have honest conversations about how they made their ideas come to life, and the lessons learned along the way. This episode is sponsored by InstaSleep Mint Melts, the drug-free, convenient sleep aid that melts in your mouth. They were invented by the physician called Dr. Lee during his medical residency, where he saw the need for an effective sleep aid that didn't contain harmful chemicals, cause addiction, or leave him feeling groggy in the morning. I've used them myself for long flights and for sorting out my sleeping pattern after a trip. They taste like mints and are really convenient since they melt in your mouth. InstaSleep Mint Melts are now available at Target, Amazon, or directly on their site at instasleep.co. Gary, thanks for being on Creator Lab. I appreciate it. We first spoke about 9 years ago, pre-Crush It, if I've got my timing correct. This was when you used to reply to everyone over email before it was ridiculously unmanageable.
Yes.
So it's been amazing to finally meet you in person, man. I appreciate it,
man. That's a really lovely. Thank you so, so much. Everybody listening, I'm thrilled to be on.
You create so much content
yes.
and you talk about all sorts of stuff. So
yes.
if I'm honest, I was struggling when I was trying to think about what to actually speak about.
Right. And, in a game of trying to get into some insights that I haven't shared before,
yeah.
it's tricky.
It is.
Yes, respect. I'm curious to see how you're about to do.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
let's do it.
I wanted to start off, let's go back a little bit.
Yes.
So this is a few pictures, and you can't see on the podcast, obviously.
Yes.
But I'm sure if we got this on video, you'll be able to see it, and I'll post it on the site
yes.
too.
Yes.
So just take me back. This is pictures from back in the day.
These are my two heroes, my mom and dad. It's fun to see this picture with my dad for a couple reasons. One, I'm wearing a Yankees sweatshirt. The New York Yankees won the World Series in 1996 when I was 21. And when they won, I stopped liking them. The same thing I did with the Rangers when I was 18. So anybody who follows me knows my love affair with the New York Jets. It's tough to talk about the Knicks, but I love them as well. It's fun to see that how much I used to love the Yankees. They were my favorite team. B, it's really fun because I don't have a lot of pictures with my dad at this age. My dad worked all the time, and I mean all the time. So I look fondly at these pictures. He caught some big fish these days. It's really, really cool. And he taught me work ethic and my word and things of that nature. And underneath a picture of me and my mom is so the bedrock. You know, I have a lot of her personality, a lot of things that I think have allowed me to be on this podcast today or people to care about what I have to say has to do with my mom. I spent every day of my life with her. We didn't travel that much. I didn't travel. I didn't go to sleepaway camp. Like, I spent every day of my life with her for the first 18 years of my life. I love her tremendously. She's instrumental in the confidence and bravado that I have, but she's equally instrumental in the humility and kindness and the things that I think make me palpable. You know, to be very frank, because I do have a lot of gusto and energy and belief and, you know, cockiness and bravado. And so I cherish my mother.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear, I mean, how old do you think you are in that picture, the first one?
In the first one, I have a very good read on this. I am probably 9 years old there.
So that was post Lemonade Stand.
This is post Lemonade
Stand. So what about before that? I mean, I know that's super young. You might not remember much, but what have people told you? Were you always like the same way you are now?
My mom has a good story. Yeah, so that's a very good question to start getting some stuff out of me. I got a story that I don't think even D-Rock knows. When we first moved to America in Queens, one of the things my mom always told me as a kid was, I'm 3.5, 4 years old, we would go outside and all the kind of 80-year-old Russian old men would sit kind of on the benches and play chess and drink vodka and just kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
And I would come and just hold court. like roll up on them and like do a meetup, you know, like just like entertain them. The way my mom tells the story is I would say, hey, Vladze, как дела? You know, I would like talk to them in their, I would call them by their first name and be like, yo, bro, what's up? As a 4 year old.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't selling when I was 4 and 5 or so, but I was definitely trying and yearning for attention.
Yeah.
And I do that today.
That's still there.
Yeah, I think I trade attention. I want attention because A, I like the feeling. B, I know what to do with it. C, I think I'm coming from a good place. Like, one of the big reasons I create so much content is I just prefer them watch me versus all these hucksters out there that I know are completely full of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, you know, so yes, that, you know, selling is about attention.
Yeah.
You can't sell somebody something until you have their attention. Whether that's charity water and a donation, or whether that's a pair of sneakers or a bottle of wine or a book, or, and so attention is the asset that you must fight for to even have a prayer of pulling off a sale.
I'm gonna show you exhibit B as well. This is one of your Instagram posts around luck. And you've talked a lot about luck, and I don't wanna put words in your mouth, but could you just share for people who might not have heard your opinions on quote unquote luck or seen this Instagram post in particular?
So the post says, keep that luck shit in your pocket.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. Do I believe in luck? Yes, I do actually, ironically, given that statement. And what I mean by luck is it's less about luck and it's more about, do I believe there are tons of things that happen that are not in your control? Yes.
Yeah.
I was born in the Soviet Union. Did I sneak out of Soviet Russia? No. Russia made a trade with America and Israel to let some Jews out of Russia.
Yeah.
And I was part of that. And I was born 20 years after my parents, so I didn't have to live my first 25 years, 22 years in Russia. Yeah. I got to live only 3 years there, and that was lucky.
Yeah.
But a lot of people left Russia then that haven't achieved what I've had or did what we did. And so to me, the big thing with that Instagram post and the way I described it and the way I talk about it is whether it's luck, whether it's child abuse, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's being born into a rich parent, whether it's being gorgeous, whether it's being able to sing, everybody has all these things that they talk about to why yes or why not something has happened.
Yeah.
I am just trying to eliminate excuses.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can win in your life if you say, well, Gary got lucky, his dad had a liquor store and he gave him a liquor store.
Yeah.
Because what you don't realize is I didn't get the liquor store. I don't own the liquor store. I built my dad's liquor store for him and gave up the first 12, 13 years of my career.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know somebody else's truths. I just think that there's a bunch of complaining and loser mentality out there, and I'm trying to eliminate it because it's the only prayer you have to be successful. Do you know how many winners I've heard talk about luck?
Yeah.
None. And I mean about other people. It's very easy to defend yourself against luck.
Yeah.
I'm not lucky, I worked my ass off. Cool, cool, cool.
Mm.
No. I mean, do you know how many winners
I
know that talk about somebody else's luck?
None.
Goose egg.
In this same vein, I've heard you mention you had 2 out of your closest 6 friends, I think, from high school. You'd mentioned they got in trouble in the wrong crowd, and I think—
College.
And you said 2 of them have— potentially in jail, exactly, for life or something.
For life. Yes.
So in that scenario, this is getting a little bit
out
there, but
Please.
It's good to talk about.
Sure. You're on a quest to find new shit.
Yeah.
You're impressing me early, so I'm excited. Go ahead.
You know, in that scenario, some of those people are in situations where if you've done well for yourself and you've made the most of your situation, that's phenomenal. But on the flip side, where someone is in a terrible position, maybe that wasn't necessarily all their fault.
100%. Dude, do you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
I don't know if I actually am going to say something pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I take no credit for my success.
Mm.
I think I'm a product of my parents and my environment.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, what can I say that wasn't the fact that my mom and dad had sex to make me? What, I'm charismatic?
Yeah.
Sounds like them to me.
Yeah, it is.
What, I have work ethic, taught behavior, my parents worked their fucking faces off.
Mm.
Like, what do I have? Like, I don't know, like, it's easy for me to stay grounded in the same way that my friend Chris Stokes, who's in jail for the rest of his life, grew up in a shitty place in New Jersey, fucking grew up in the ghetto, fucking had a tough parent situation, fucking stole my Sega Genesis to pay for an abortion, like, and he was my boy.
Yeah.
That was the animal that he was.
Mm.
That was the environment he came from. So I get it, sure. Why do you think this is all happening? Mm. I actually take zero credit. When I brag about myself, I'm trying to put my parents on. I'm trying to put America on. I'm trying to put New Jersey on.
Mm. I got you.
You know?
Yeah.
So hell yeah, I'm totally with you.
Mm.
I think about it every day. It's why I'm not fancy. Now, I love the game.
Yeah.
So you know who I am? I'm like a trash talker in basketball, right?
Yeah, I know.
You know, like
I know you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I trash talk in basketball, and I live my life that way. Like, I'm competitive. Like, I want to tell. I'm telling everybody on my vlog right now, looking right at you, YouTube. I'm gonna beat you. And you know what just happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, hundreds of people watching my vlog are like, "Fuck this," and just stopped playing that video. I'm not in this for me to get more numbers or more. I'm gonna get mine. My man, I won before I ever started the journey of this Gary Vee thing.
Yeah.
I'd already been successful from the business side.
Yeah.
This is now about legacy.
Mm.
When I tell you, getting the 40 to 700 emails I get each week of, I was homeless, I was abused, I was spoiled, rich kid, whatever it starts with, it ends with, I'm happy, I'm winning because of something you said. Because of one snap, because of one moment, because of one time you yelled at me at camp, like, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and that's,
you can't replace that, and you
that's
can't
right.
put
and
money
so,
on that.
And so for me, I think I've been doing it right because I'm kind of doing the selfish and selfless thing in parallel, not, that works for me.
In that same vein, you mentioned success, and you mentioned kind of long-term legacy.
Yes.
So if today was your last Thursday, and you looked ahead until next week and you knew Thursday was the end, what would you do differently in the next week?
The only thing I would 100% still do
is
watch the New York Jets game this Sunday. That is 100%.
Yeah.
What would I mean, I would walk out of this room right now and go spend every minute with those 11 people, right?
My
parents,
kids and your parents,
my kids, my brother, my sister, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, Brandon Warnicki, my best friend, you know, like, not super complicated, you know, pretty simple.
So
that's not true, I'm lying.
Yeah.
I would do that, and I would call D-Rock tell him to come over,
come and, take
and I would try to produce a piece of, I'd be like, I would definitely try to produce a piece of content that got one quadrillion views of like my last manifesto. I'd be like, listen, this is it. Like, fuck, like, it's like, it really makes no sense. I had so much more to give.
Yeah.
So let me try to take that 50 years and put it into the next 15 minutes.
And the reason I ask that is because I feel like that's an amazing mental exercise.
I do it every day.
You do it every day?
I do it every day.
But then if that's the case, then why don't you just go and spend the rest of the time with your kids and your wife and your parents?
Because you can trick yourself tremendously, but the truth is you can never get to the complete reality of something because there's a part of your brain and soul that's saying, no, you're actually gonna be alive tomorrow. Like, you know, like the answer is because it would be boring. Like it's a very interesting thing, right? Like, it's really super interesting because my kids need to go to school tomorrow because my wife doesn't want me in the house all day. Like, it's kind of like this funny thing, right? Like, because if you're not actually dying on Thursday, well, then that's
not... You can't live like that's actually going to be the case.
You can only live in the reality of the situation. This is the thing I spend all my time with all my executives and all my homies. Like, you can talk about theory all you want.
Yeah.
Let's fucking execute in reality.
Yeah.
Like, something's subjective and something's not. Here's what's subjective. If people like this next 30 minutes, here's what's not subjective. It was 30 minutes.
Mm.
And like, I trade on what's black and white and I accept what's gray.
Mm. I'm just having a little think about that. Because it's such a hard, I've had two extremes on my podcast. I've had someone say, I want to live to 100 and I plan to live to 100.
Yes.
And I've had someone else say, I don't know if I'll be there 100. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Therefore, today what I'm doing is based on that. And I don't think either is right or wrong, of course.
Yeah, but I think the first person's telling the truth more. I mean, to your point.
Yeah.
And I don't want to call that person out.
Yeah.
It's just awfully hard for anybody to truly act. You have people who are diagnosed with terminal disease, are told that they have 30 days to live and don't do the things that we all say we're going to do because they still have hope.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I don't know, like, it's just a very fascinating conversation.
Yeah. No, definitely, man. I think we could talk for 2 hours about it. So we'll
you're making a very smart, creative decision right now. I could stick on this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like, why people do what they do? How do they do it? You know, what are the triggers? How do they even get to the point where they think about this? How many people don't even think about this? Who thinks about it all the time?
Yeah.
Why did I spend my ages 8 to 16 having a recurring nightmare every 3 days that my family had a reunion in Russia and the plane would crash?
That real?
That's real. I'm trying to give you some new info.
Yeah.
why? What was the logic between the three members, and it was always three other members but me, that survived? Sometimes my Aunt Valia, sometimes my Uncle Misha, sometimes my dad, sometimes my mom. Like, that's just fascinating to me. Like, the brain, the operating system of us is just incredible.
Mm. It's true.
But I've always had a very weird and intimate relationship with, I mean, I talk about death a lot.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where, right, Seth? Yeah. I talk about death a lot by, like, common standards.
You sound like my mom, man.
She tells me that every day. I hope she's 1,000 because I'm like,
she does it every day.
Good. I like that because how old is she?
Almost 60s. Like,
good. Because like, one of the things that definitely freaks me out about talking about death all the time is like, oh, that must mean I'm going to go early. Like, you know, like,
No, it's a kind of a depressing thing to talk about, but it's real life as well. So
it's a driver. It's an engine for me. I do think about it. I'm sure you saw the clip, or maybe you didn't, but like, when somebody rolled up on me, you're going to die, right? Like, I believe in that. And like, so do I think that, like, if you told me tomorrow it's a week away, would I do the normal stuff? Of course not. I would definitely like go to Vegas and like spend time with my family, or like jump off a bridge, or like da, 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 da. But like, the reality is we are all living in the reality of what we believe is happening.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Kind of taking that one step further, I'm just thinking about mindset here. You've talked a lot about depression recently.
Yeah.
Or you've touched on it. Maybe not a lot.
Yeah, touched on it.
And you've talked about the need for us to talk about that in our space, whether that's startup world, tech world, business, whatever you want to call it. Let's touch on that for a minute. So the reason I was having to think about this last night, and, you know, first of all, maybe let's just set the tone for someone who hasn't heard you talk about that first.
Let's do that.
What is your take on the current problem we have in the entrepreneurial space anyway, where people aren't ready for the reality of entrepreneurship?
My problem is that there's an awful lot of attention on Instagram and other social networks, and 99% of the messaging is about watches and you know, pretty girls on swan balloons in the pool and champagne popping and private jets and elaborate vacations and trips with your girls
a highlight reel.
A highlight reel, man. Yeah. And it's just so not even remotely close to the truth.
Mm.
The truth is almost everybody's going to fail. Almost everybody. And it's super hard. The pressure is real. And there has been some underlining suicide and depression in our space that is never alluded to at all.
Yeah.
It's just not something we talk about. And I had a friend who committed suicide who was part of the Las Vegas tech scene. And that was the first time it kind of like, I knew it was happening. I knew there was people that were bullshitting, faking the funk, drinking too much, doing stuff, you know, the lightweight signs.
Yeah, but you're not sure if it's going over the edge, and that's there's a difference.
Yeah, I was, you know, when you don't see, you know, until you see something, you don't know. And I didn't know him intimately. I knew in the space, I'd see some entrepreneurs in 2009, 10, 11, and I would think that they were like doing the cliche signs of trying to release stress. Now you have on top of that a lot of the whole like what I would call party promoting type.
Yeah.
Like entrepreneurship's cool.
Yeah.
Like rappers and models and athletes and club promoters think I'm cool. That's the crazy. Yeah. I was about to say stupidest. That is literally the craziest thing that has happened in my life.
Yeah.
So I understand why it's happening. But unfortunately, most people are not built out for true entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And I think they think that they have to do it or they should do it. And that makes me sad because they could have made a lot of money or been very happy doing something else.
Yeah. And I've heard you use a great example. If you were the 7th or 8th or 15th of Uber, Snapchat, Facebook, etc., you'd probably be, you'd be a lot better off in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of kids who I know are great consultants, could have went to Bain, then could have been number 39 at Airbnb, who would have just crushed it.
Yeah.
Instead, they started two lousy startups, right?
Yeah.
They got humiliated internally. Their family makes fun of them because he or she didn't live up to their mom and dad's careers.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to handle it because they've had it easy because they're good students.
Yeah.
And that was the game they played their whole lives. Mm. And they go into a bad place.
Yeah. And just taking that one step further. So I completely agree with you on that. At the same time, the more people I've interviewed in this scenario, the more I've heard the same message, which is entrepreneurship to most people that I would say have been successful, quote unquote, is being relentless and continuing to go.
Do you know the only way that you can be relentless is if you love it?
Yeah.
You can only do it from love, not fear.
Yeah.
You can't be relentless when you're losing over and over and you know it in your heart, this is not you. And the reason you're doing it is you're ashamed or you want to persevere or not have the scarlet letter, you'll break.
Yeah.
The reason entrepreneurs that are successful talk about relentlessness is because they can't do anything else.
Yeah.
Do you know that I would die if you told me? I would not wait all the way to next Thursday and die by Tuesday if you told me I had to go work somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. but the reason I bring that up is because there's a difference between the self-awareness to know you're not the CEO type or the founder versus
you gave
navigating self-doubt.
No, I think you nailed it. You know what the one where you're going, which is super smart, is this one, which is scary.
Mm.
Did I give up 3 months too soon and I would have made it?
Yeah.
Or would have this never happened anyway? And I'm glad I gave up on it.
Yeah, because it's a fine line to me. Because for some,
it's a fine line.
You know, because there are other people that, you know, what, you know, the cliche things, you're not going to make it, you're not going to do this. And then they eventually made it work.
I think you need to look at those people. I think there's telltale signs in their youth that would have allowed you to believe that they were going to make it.
Mm.
And that's one thing I worry about. I think we're not doing enough mapping of somebody's DNA.
Yeah.
When we give the feedback of you're not going to make it or you are going to make it.
Just to close out, you know, the number one thing I hear you talk about is legacy.
Yes.
And the thing that I'd like to ask you around that is how that's changed over time. So when you were 10 years ago, maybe let's say, versus now, how has that changed? You've always talked about buying New York Jets.
Yeah, and you know this. I think you clearly have a good read on me. I want to play the game of trying to buy the Jets a lot more than I want to buy the Jets. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
I'm scared that I'm achieving it.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, be careful what you wish for kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I think back to, like, you know, it was funny. I was talking to this young woman. She was like, I always dreamed about, like, dating this guy. And then it happened. I was scared. And she was, like, talking to me like a friend. It was cool. Anyway, nonetheless, same thing with me. Like, I always wanted legacy. I think I already have some level of legacy that is greater than the masses. And I haven't even started.
Yeah.
So it's changed in this way. I always believed I was going to have it because I always knew I was playing towards it and that it would then be inevitable.
Yeah.
I'm tasting it right now and I love how it tastes.
Mm.
And I'm humbled by how delicious it is.
Yeah.
You know, dude, I don't live a single day of my life that I don't get 20 people telling me that I've made a positive impact on their life. And some days it's 400.
Yeah.
And I don't mean I love you Gary V comments on Instagram.
Mm.
I mean full manifestos and email of deep shit
stories
that just is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. It's changed because it's become real. And I also know it hasn't even started yet.
Mm. What about your family? How's that impacted? Because 10 years ago, you didn't have kids, right?
Tremendously. I'm so proud on a macro and a micro. I'm pumped that my kids will think about learning how to dribble with their left hand because of me, appreciate clams because of me, become a diehard Jets fan because of me. But I'm also proud of the way they're going to look at their dad because their sixth grade teacher is going to tell them that her dad inspired them to quit a corporate job and teach. Like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah,
I think about it in two ways. The most important way that we all think about it, which is our legacy to them through their my four eyes of my two children, and then just kind of the macro too.
Mm.
Them being proud of me because I'm trying to do good and I can feel it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm in a cool spot because smart people realize that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I like the people that think I'm good versus the people that are cynical to me.
Yeah.
I'm winning with the right people.
Yeah. You're the figurehead of VaynerMedia.
Yes.
And all the businesses that you're involved with.
Yes.
How do you build a business long run that lives on without you? You know, Richard Branson has that issue, Steve Jobs. There are other businesses that 100%. Have lived on, but it's a different scenario with a figurehead like that.
So I've done it once already. I built Wine Library. I mean, my dad started, no question, but I built what we know today as Wine Library. Yeah. I haven't been active in 6 years. Very easily.
Yeah.
You build a business, not a house of cards built on a charismatic leader.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, it's really funny, actually. Yeah. The answer's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't go into, like, I tell every no client of VaynerMedia's thinks they're buying Gary.
Mm.
People think that.
Yeah.
Because they're not in the meetings with me when I have that opening meeting and I tell them that you're not buying me.
Yeah.
This is an 800 person, top of the class, double gold standard agency for the 2020 world. Yeah. You know, maybe we're not a double gold standard for old television and print. So we make it perfectly clear who we are.
Yeah, that's great. All right, man.
Thank you.
Any last words for the audience? Any call to action
or anything you want to share? Yeah, of course. You know, if anything was said here that really meant something to you, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, Gary VEE. I'd love to expand on it. I'll do my best. And I hope something here, you know, triggered a thought or more importantly, an action because you've had the thought. You didn't need me for the thought. You needed me for the push.
Yeah.
And so I hope we did that.
That's it, man. Well, I appreciate it, brother.
Love you, brother.
Take care, man.
Cheers.
Speak to you soon. I hope you enjoyed that. If you did, please share this with your friends. I'll be bringing you some incredible guests over the coming weeks. You can subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, or any podcast app you're using. You can also subscribe to the email list on the website. Just go to creatorlab.fm/subscribe. You'll be able to get every single episode, free giveaways, and exclusive content straight to your inbox. You can also listen to all the episodes on creatorlab.fm with all the show notes, books, links, any resources that were mentioned in the conversations. And please say hello. You can send me an email directly. That is hello@creatorlab.fm, or just find me on any social network. The username is creatorlabfm. I look forward to hearing from you. Enjoy.
Time now, Seth. Fucking camera on camera on camera. Fucking, there's 10 fucking cameras in here. Just living that camera life.
The Hollywood life.
Let's do it.